Perek Dal, Pasuk Yud Zayin. She's going to her doom. And she's going to do it. Whatever it takes, she's going to do it. No matter what she loses, whatever she forfeits, she's doing it. Vayaver Mordechai. Vayaver literally means he passed. He passed by. Vayaska Chalashet Tzivsal of Esther. And he did everything that Esther commanded. Wow. Esther commanded. Now Esther's commanding Mordechai. How about that? Now she's... Vayavar. Right, Vayavar. So Machlok is Rav and Shmuel in the Gemara. What Vayavar means. One of them says Vayavar means he crossed, there was a river. There was a river that separated between Shushan HaBira, that's like Shushan DC, Shushan the capital. And then there was that's where the royalty lived, nobility, noblemen, and then there was Shushan the city, and there was a river separating them. So Vayav is the Mordechai crossed over the river. So you see that Mordechai considered his mission so integral, so important, that he went through water for it. You know, that's how. Either Rav or Shmuel.
He what?
He went through water for it. You know, he had to cross a river. Vayavar. The pasuk's reason for mentioning that Mordechai was over, that he crossed over, is to show you that he's going to get to where he's going to get, and there's not going to be any obstacles. Okay. It's a point. Not going to be any obstacles. The other opinion, Vayavar, you know, Reb Shlomo Alkabitz adds to this. Everything that Mordechai did, in general, and especially now, everything that Mordechai did was a shem mitzvah. There was nothing personal. Because his Baruch is going to save the Jewish people. Either he will or he won't. So we have to deserve it. And now he's on a mission. So he's doing it with Shem Mitzvah. And it's a fine point. He's not doing it in order to save the Jewish people from being killed. He's doing it with Shem Mitzvah. Ratzon Hashem is that I should cross over this river. So when he crossed over the river, he had in mind, he's crossing over the river because Hashem wants him to cross over the river. Not, oh my gosh, the Jews are going to get killed out. I better get over the river, because otherwise they're not going to find out, and we got to do something. Every single step, every decision, every path, he was doing the Shem Mitzvah. Shlomo Alkabitz said that since that's the way Mordechai did things, that's why it deserves to be mentioned in the Torah.
He wasn't,
though. It's a Yisoid. That the Torah is not a history book. If the Torah would be a history book, there'd be a lot more things in there. Sweet. And there'd be a lot of things in there that wouldn't be in there. Torah is not a record of significant events. The Torah is the Torah.
Torah is from the world through, like...
There is a certain format to the Torah which might give you the impression that it's a history book. But it's not at all consistent, as we see in the Gemara. The Gemara says Ein Muktam Umuchar Batayra. You have the whole parsha of Mishpatim that's out of order. And if it was a chronicle of events, why was it out of order? The events that are in historical order, there's a reason why they're in that order, and it's not a historical reason. that what we have to learn from those passages have to be in this particular order, and they happen to mimic the historical order, but it's not a historical account. If something's in Torah, then that means that it's emes. There's this Kodesh Baruch Hu's stamp of approval, it's emes. And Mordecai, you know, not everybody's actions, and not all the actions of any individual are in the Torah. The actions that are in the Torah are the Akedas Yitzchak, that was emes. The parts of our history that are in the Torah are the parts that are Tyrus Emes. They last forever. They endure forever. And Mordecai crossing over the river is a seemingly insignificant detail of this whole thing. Like, what difference does it make that Mordecai crossed over a river to warn the people in Shushan? What difference does it make to us? From a historical perspective, there's no significance to such a thing. But since Mordecai did it l'shem mitzvah, so he invested this small, insignificant action with kashivas, and the Torah has it. That's how Shlomo Alkovitz understands this. It's either Rav or Shmuel. The other view on the word vayavar, vayavar means to violate. He violated something. Mordecai was held in violation. Transgression. You'll see in the Rashi and in the Targum, what did he violate? What was it that he violated? Rashi says he violated Torah law because he decreed a fast for 3 days, which included the first day of Pesach. You're not allowed to fast on the first day of Pesach. It's Yom Tov. The Torah doesn't allow it. So Mordecai transgressed. He violated. Vayavar. Because Pikuach Nefesh is Daicha. He paskened that fasting is an Indian of Pikuach Nefesh. They must fast. And it's Daicha Pesach. They fasted on the 14th day of Nisan, which is Erev Pesach, the 15th, and the 16th. What happened on the 13th day of Nisan? That's when the Sfarim of Haman were sent out. So the 13th day of the Sfarim was sent out. The 14th, 15th, and 16th were a fast day. That means they fast on Pesach. So Mordecai was over. He was over. Vayavar, he was over. The Targum says, the Targum is also a source for this. The Mordecai violated the Simcha of the Yom Tov. There's a chiyuv of Simchas Yom Tov. Simchas Yom Tov is with food. So Mordecai violated that. And he decreed a fast. And he sat down in the dirt. He rolled in the dirt. And he did everything that Esther commanded him. There's other midrashim. Yeah, the Targum mentioned that he rolled in the dirt. They instituted other things. That, you know, if there was a chassan that was getting married, so instead of being bedecked with finery, you know, wearing his Giorgio Armani suit, so a chassan in his own chuppah would wear sackcloth. There was a whole series of steps that they took, the Shua Velis. And the commentary of Rav Shlomo Alkovitz says that's what's meant in the Pasuk, when the Pasuk says, Vayas and Mordechai did, kichal, like everything, that Esther commanded him. The word kichal always includes things that aren't written. What's written is the 3-day fast. Esther asked Mordecai to do that. She commanded Mordecai to do that. So he did that. The word kichal includes all these other things. You know, sitting down in the dust and dressing in sackcloth and including mourning by a wedding. So kichal includes even that. Reb Shlomo Alkovitz. It's interesting to note the Alchemy Amleis takes note of this. You see, the Chazal consider it a transgression, a violation, Because Mordechai decreed a fast on Pesach. And there's a chiv of Simchas Yom Tov, and when one is fasting, they can't be mekayem Simchas Yom Tov. And they don't mention another thing. If you're fasting on the first day of Pesach, what mitzvah can't you do?
Matzah.
Mar.
Sibrijis
Mitzrayim you could do. Yeah, you could do a matzah and mar. There was no Beis HaMikdash then, so there was no Karim Pesach. What about the chiv matzah? The chiv mar is Rabbanon when there's no Beis HaMikdash, but the chiv matzah is the rice. And it says Vayavor. And Chazal say, what's Vayavor? What did he do that was a violation of the Torah? That they are not having Simchas Yom Tov. The Lashon of the Targum is Chedvas Chaga. Simchas Yom Tov. He's Beferish that the transgression was Simchas Yom Tov. And what about the Chiv? What about the Chiv Matzah? This is addressed in different formats. Just Kasha. But it seems like we don't consider that important. The Yaakov Me'amleis gives the teretz. It's a chap teretz. I mean, those of you that learned Mesechta Sukkah, you might know that on Yom Kippur, there's a chiv karas for somebody that eats on Yom Kippur, but it's not incurred by somebody that eats a kazayis. Yom Kippur is an exception. All other things, if somebody eats nevela, treifa, basav chalav, they'll get malchus if they eat a kazayis, the size of an olive. And in Yom Kippur, they don't incur karis by eating a kazayis Yom Kippur. The shear is a kesevas agasa. Kesevas agasa is a huge fig, a fat, juicy fig. Yom Kippur, somebody eats a kazayis in Yom Kippur, they're not chayiv karis. The reason for this is because Yom Kippur never says the words lo sochel. It doesn't say don't eat. Never says not to eat on Yom Kippur. By nevela it says lo sochel kol nevela. Don't eat nevela. Treifa lo sochelu. Don't eat treifa. But Yom Kippur never says not to eat. So how do we know you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur? It says v'nisim esnaf shaseichem. You're supposed to cause pain to your nefesh. Inisim. You're supposed to starve your nefesh. V'nisim, inui. V'nisim nafsh sech. So the Gemara learns out from there that eating is a kazayis. But causing pain is even if someone eats a kazayis, he's still going to have pain. A kazayis doesn't fill you up. It's not enough. It's called achila, but it doesn't take away the hunger pangs. So if somebody eats a kazayis, but doesn't eat the size of a fair date, you know, eats in between, so then it might be called that he's eating, but it's not called v'nisim esnaf shaseichem. Mimela. Mordechai decreed a tainus on Pesach. So what can't you do? You can't eat enough to fill yourself up. But a kazayis you could eat. So they did eat matzah. They had a kazayis. That's why, okay, say it. Got it? That's a teretz. A chap teretz. Okay.
Why do we have to say this? What was wrong?
Because Chazal don't say that Mordechai transgressed the eating of the mitzvah of achilas matzah. They don't seem to find that wasn't done. What about what?
The word
Ava. That's going on the Simchas Yom Tov. That's going on Simchas Yom Tov. That's the question, because Chazal mentioned that in conjunction with Simchas Yom Tov. There's a medrash that Esther provided basis for this gzera. Now, how could you fast on Pesach? And even though Klal Yisrael's in danger, so if a guy comes to kill you on Pesach, so then you're allowed to kill him back, even though you're normally not allowed to kill on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to kill vermin on Yom Tov. But if a guy comes to kill you on Yom Tov, so pikuach nefesh is daich Yom Tov. But they're not dying now. It is a gzeira in 11 months, so what right do you have to be mevatel?
That's what we said before. So what?
It had
to be now.
It had to be now. Well, the magic gives a different answer. Esther says there's two reasons why you have to listen to me, Mordechai. One is a total reason. Esther, the Medrash says that Esther is the one that told Mordechai to make this fast on Yom Kippur. It's a mashma from the Medrash that Mordechai might not have agreed. It's mashma like that. It's mashma that Mordechai said, we'll daven, we'll fast, but you have to have a Simchas Yom Tov. That should be Adrabah. That's a schus. We're showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though we're Chayim Misa, but we're still going to do the Shem Shemayim Simchas Yom Tov. There's an argument to be heard along those lines. Which way do you go? Do you have Avelis in Yom Tov? You show, no, we're going to show we're loyal servants of the king. And even though we don't care about what happens to us, even if we die, but the last Pesach we're going to do it, Mamish, Lachatchil, and Mahajin, all our Kazesim of Matzah, and Mamish, and eat a Suda, even though we're not in the mood, Lachavra Kashbo. But Esther said no. And she said no for two reasons. She said, if the Jewish people are in danger of being exterminated, so what's the point of not fasting in order to be Mekayim the mitzvahs of Simchas Pesach, when if they don't do tshuva and they don't fast, there won't be any Jewish people around left to keep Pesach anymore. So her first reason was a Torah reason. That fasting on Pesach is not a bittel. It's not a zilzel. It's not a denigration. We're not lowering the respect that we have for Pesach by fasting on Pesach. Why?
You have a schus of being the sameach on Pesach, so that would also save the Jews. That could also save the Jews.
I know, but that's not our call to make. Don't you think that Esther thought about it and rejected it? When you're going with I explained Mordechai said so well that you don't see Esther's side.
Esther thinks that fasting is more hush.
Yes, she's going to do something now. Mm-hmm. And she needs to fast now. And that's it. Yeah?
Can this kind of be since Nisan's the time for Geula?
Yeah.
That instead of worrying about and remembering a Geula from past times, they're in the middle of a Geula right now.
And yeah.
Instead of, I guess, commemorating
that. Well, maybe what you mean is that, I mean, this is what the Medrash says. You don't have to celebrate a Geula if the effects of that Geula are not there anymore. The Gemara, you ever heard of Megillus Tainus? Mm-hmm. There's certain Yeshuas, salvations, that Klai Yisrael went throughout the ages. That they were Kaveh Yamim Tovim. And those Yamim Tovim was us to fast on, and was us to have eulogies on them. And those are mentioned in Megillus Tainus. When the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, so those Yamim Tovim were destroyed. Because all the advances, all the gains that we're commemorating those days for, we're happy on those days, because we were saved, because the Beis Hamikdash wasn't destroyed, or a city wasn't destroyed, that was all reversed. So there's no point to keep the Yom Tov anymore. So if that's what you mean, then that's mamash that Simchas Yom Tov, because of Yetzias Mitzrayim, because of Geula, that Geula is no longer here.
We still have a tzivah in the Torah.
There's also tzivah in the Torah to save your life.
You're saying that we don't have to keep the mitzvah in the Torah of Simchas Yom
Tov. Here's a judgment call. She's deciding whether fasting is going to save their lives. Once she decides it's going to save their lives, there's no tzivah in the Torah to keep Pesach. What we're discussing now is the decision-making process that allowed her to reach that led her to that conclusion. No tzivah in the Torah to eat on Pesach if it's going to cause you to lose your life, Chassid Shalom.
I was trying to figure out what it has to do with.
It's not a halakhic issue here. It's which mahalakh is the one that's going to have the most hatzlacha.
What shaykh is to the fact that Pesach is k'mor batal, because the whole...
That means that it doesn't make sense to have Simchas Yom Tov on a day when the simple thing you were sameach about.
But you're saying that's not the reason. If the reason was because it doesn't make sense, that wouldn't be more about the Tzibah and the Torah. The reason why they're not going to keep Pesach is all because of the Kuach Nefash. It doesn't have anything to do with the fact that...
What determines whether something's Pekuach Nefash or not is whether it makes sense. What does Hashem want them to do? How do you know that? If it doesn't make sense, if you're looking at the simanim, Kadosh Baruch Hu's sending messages. You're looking at the simanim, and you're trying to figure out what Hashem wants from us. He wants tshuva, of course. But what in specific does Hashem want? Hashem wants what? So she said, does it make sense? If you don't fast, you're going to be losing out. You're losing out the fast day. Does it make sense to celebrate a gula that Kadosh Baruch Hu is in the process of being vatel? Does it make sense to celebrate a Yom Tov which is being eradicated? Pesach's being wiped out. There's no Jews. There's no Pesach. Well, they'll have a Pesach museum. They'll have a matzah on display with a Seder plate and some macaroons. There's no Jews. There's no Pesach. Pesach is disappearing. So, on the one hand, you say, well, we have a mitzvah in the Torah. We should keep Pesach no matter what. That's in a normal time when you have a regular Pesach. When you have a disappearing Pesach, then there's room to differ.
So on the Holocaust, they don't have to keep Pesach?
This was on a totally different level than the Holocaust. The Haman of the Holocaust did not have all the Jews under his power. Thank God that he didn't. This is unparalleled. There never was a time like this. By Hebe Me'achashverish. By here is the Lashon Tzar.
Where they had all the Jews? They had them by...
Every single Jew was under Achashverosh's power.
And the Jews went down to the tribe.
They weren't a Jewish nation.
That was before. But you're right. Chazal say that every Gullus that we find ourselves in from the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash had found its root in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was an all-encompassing Gullus. It had that also. So with the similarity between this Gullus and Mitzrayim is that they were all there. That's the similarity. Mitzrayim had other things too. Mitzrayim had the assimilation that they wanted to kill them. Mitzrayim had that they wanted to convert them. Mitzrayim had that they wanted to oppress them. And had had everything. So the Medrash says that, to give up on the fast, not to fast, in order to be mekayem a mitzvah, something that's disappearing, is just not the mahalak. She doesn't believe Hashem wants it. And the second thing the Medrash says, she told Mordechai, she says, I'm a malka, I'm a queen, and the queen commands you to do it. So Mordechai, you have to do it because it's a command from the queen. Isn't that interesting? Really? It really depends on what kind of queen you're talking about. There's something called the Hirasha. A Hirasha, which means something that the king determines is a temporary measure for the salvation of the nation. He does. Yes, they do. Hirasha. Mordechai utilized this vehicle when he told Esther to go to Achashverosh willingly. It's also Hirasha. You don't tell a Jewish girl to go to a Gentile willingly. It's Hirasha. Hirasha means it's a temporary measure which is called for because of the times. You remember when we first started out, I mentioned to you a fact that the true king of the country was not Achashverosh. I don't know if you remember this. Because Achashverosh, because he had complicity in the cessation, in the ceasing of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So his nigzar on him, Achashverosh was part of it. So his nigzar on him, he should lose his entire kingdom. But since he was destined to marry Esther, so he held on to 127, which means that Esther's the king. I don't know if you remember. She's the king because he would have had nothing. He only has 127 provinces because of her, so she's the king. She's the melech. And I said then that she's the melech of a Klal Yisrael. In a sense, there's a melech in Klal Yisrael, and she's it. And Klal Yisrael has to listen to her because she's their melech. And you see it from this pasuk because the pasuk says, Vayasa Mordechai did kechol asher tzivtzah lav Esther, everything that Esther commanded him. That means the Mordechai agreed that he's commanded. Esther didn't just command him, she had some kind of power trip that I'm Achashverosh's wife and I'm commanding, and so it shall be written, and so it shall be done. It says the word tzivi from Mordechai's point of view. Mordechai did according to her command, that he felt commanded. And he had to do it, even though it's going against the Torah. But when the queen commands it, you have to do it. You don't listen. You don't listen to the queen when she commands. You chayv misa. Your king can have somebody put to death. What happened to Din Torah? You need Adim? You need Asura? How could a king have the power? The king has the power. That's in the Medrash. The Targum of Vayavar has a third pshat. We said Vayavar is that he went over the river. Vayavar is that he violated the Tzivui HaTorah not to fast. And the Targum has a different translation of the word Vayavar. And he translates Vayavar as anger. Evra. Evra Vaza'an is anger. The Mordechai was angry. He was angry. Vayavar Mordechai v'yaska chol asher tziv salav Esther. Mordechai was angry. In Parsha Vayishlach, we said yesterday that there's a lot of parallels between Megillas Esther and Parsha Vayishlach. This is the encounter between Esav and Yankiv and Mordechai and Haman. I think the pasuk is Vayavar Mincha Me'al Panav. Yaakov Avinu did three things. He davened, he prepared himself for war, and he sent a bribe. He sent a bribe to Esav. And in sending the bribe, the pasuk uses a lashon of Vayavar. Let me find it. Ooh. Here. In Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk of Beis, the Pasuk says, V'tavar ha-mincha al-panav. The bribe, the present, passed in front of Yaakov, passed in front of his face. Yeah, as they were going out with the camels, so then they rode out of town past Yaakov, on the way to Esav. So Rashi says, what does that mean that it passed by his face? Brings a medrash. Avushar b'kas, he was angry. Yaakov was angry. Vayavar doesn't mean that it passed by him. Vayavar means he was angry.
That's
Rashi. In Parsha Vayishlach. Yaakov was angry and Mordechai was angry. So I would assume that that's the parallel here. In having to be subservient to the kayach of Esau, to be the kayach of Amalek, to be under the thumb, to be in such a state, and that you try and take Klal Yisrael out of it. So Mordechai was angry that he had to do this in the first place. Things progressed to that's the lashon. Things descended to such levels that he has to do this. That's angry. Vayavar. By Perakei Pasuk Aleph. Vayi b'yam ha-shlishi, and it was on the third day. Vatil b'sh Esther Malchus. Esther garbed herself with royalty. Vatamid b'chatzar b'is ha-melech. She stood in the courtyard of the king. She's not supposed to be there. Hapnimis, the inner one. Neichach Beis HaMelech. Neichach means directly opposite the place where the king resided. It means that she was in the inner courtyard and the king was in a house. But the king was able to see the inner courtyard. V'HaMelech Yeshev Al Kisa Malchusa, he was sitting on his royal throne. Beveis HaMalchus, in the royal palace. Neichach Pesach HaBayis, and he was facing the doorway. Bigde Malchus. This pasuk is probably one of the most inspiring psukim in the Megillah. When you look at it with the light of Chazal. First, I wanted to say a few side points. The Vilna Gaon says there's a nes here. There's a nes in this pasuk. The king's throne is normally not in his house. And the king is not normally sitting in his throne right opposite the doorway. You understand? That's not respect. It's not respect. It's not a respectable place for a throne to be, that anybody that walks by the doorway could see straight through where the king is sitting. But Darklaw, the way you show respect is you remove the object of respect from public view. I mean, granted, not everyone was allowed into the courtyard. But still, to put something in the base of the throne in the king's house, the throne is not in the you don't put the throne in the White House. You put the throne in the judiciary branches. You put it in the Supreme Court. The king sits in the king. What do kings do the whole day? They sit in judgment, especially Ahasuerus. He was the judge over every single case in the kingdom, so the throne should be in the courtroom. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. What? You couldn't move it from Persia to Babylonia. That doesn't mean that you couldn't move it from one building to the other. I mean, in any case, it was a nes. So if there was a problem with moving it, then the nes could take care of that problem as well. In any case, it was a nes. It's a nes. So Vilna Gaon, he doesn't tell us how, but he just tells us what. There was a shkaka pratis, the throne, which is usually in the judiciary buildings, in the courtrooms, Beis HaMishpat, is now in the Beis HaMalchus. And not only in the Beis HaMalchus, but it was right opposite the doorway. Why? Because it was integral that Ahasuerus see Esther right away. The anger and the grace have to come simultaneously. Otherwise, the anger will have a chance to grow. If he finds out about her being there, before he sees her, then the anger will take root. He'll get angry. Esther's there. He'll get angry. He won't have her in front of him at the time to cancel that effect, and she'll die. So Kadosh Baruch Hu worked it out that he was in the exact position to see her the moment she would appear, so that she should find grace in his eyes, find chen in his eyes, simultaneous with the cause of anger. So he said this was a nes. And apnimis. The Rakeach says, you see this in the pasuk, it says about Tamay Bechatzer Beis HaMelech apnimis. She stood. She stood in the inner courtyard. It doesn't say that it was a gradual process, that she entered, you know. It doesn't say she entered, she went into it. If you use the word going into, that means that she was somewhere else, and then she goes into it, so then you see them coming in. That's also dangerous. But Tamrei, the Rekach says, means that she appeared there. It's like she appeared out of nowhere. Ahasuerus was... Rekach. Ahasuerus was sitting, he's looking, he has a clear line of sight to the inner courtyard, he sees nothing, and then all of a sudden she's there. So there's no like, he sees someone coming in the distance, who is it, who has the audacity to come here, none of that. The Rakeach works hand in hand, you know, hand in hand with the Vilna Gaon, what we said. She appeared, instantaneously.
He didn't see her until she was
right. Until he saw her, right. Until she was right under his nose. Nice. Chazal is Kakashi here. I mean, Rashi brings it. The Targum brings it. Chazal ask Akasha here. It says, Vatilbish Esther Malchus. Esther garbed herself with Malchus. There's a word missing. in that sentence. Vatilbush Esther Malchus. It should say Vatilbush Esther Big Day Malchus. She put on Big Day, Big Day. The word Big Day is missing. She put on royal clothing. What does it mean that she put on Malchus? So we'll go through Rashi and the Targum. They complement each other. Rashi says Malchus is not referring to physical clothing. Rabbi Seinu Amru Shalav Shasa Ruach HaKadosh. She was clothed with Ruach HaKadosh. Vatilbash Esther Malchus. She was surrounded by a covering, by clothing of Malchus. She was surrounded by majesty. What's being surrounded by majesty? Hashem's covered. Hashem's covered is Malchus. In our way of understanding things, that means the madrega that she reached at that time was such a high madrega that it was clear for anyone that beheld her that she's a vehicle, she's a tool for Kadosh Baruch Hu's majesty to be spread to this world. That means she's totally batal, mevutal. Her Ramach Evarim, Meshach Sagidim, each and every one of her parts, all her faculties, are all dedicated to one purpose, to spreading Hashem's Malchus. But Tilbash Esther Malchus, she reached Malchus.
She never reached it before until now?
Right.
This is after Keli Lamaz of Tam.
This is in the middle. This is, you know, I don't know if we're going to get to that today. This is in the middle. But the Vilna Gaon says, why, you know, what was it at this point that, you know, that allowed her to get to a madrega that she had never gotten to before? What was the last?
She had to give up her life.
Well, the Vilna Gaon says that it was the 3-day fast. She had somebody to fast. This is the third day to fast. This is the first day of the fast. Vayhi b'yom hashlishi is the third day of the fast. So it's Yudal Tesvav and Tezayin. Yeah, the third day. It's interesting. I'm having some difficulties with the way the times work out. But you're right, it does say the third day of the fast. It's the third day of the fast. He said after 3 days. A person is like a body without any soul inside of it. You know, the body is broken. The body's mamish broken. Yeah, so I mean, but you know, there's an advantage to having a broken body. The body being, you know, like a non-entity. She hadn't paid attention to any of the needs of the body for 3 days. I mean, I find that that's one of the things of the Simcha on Yom Kippur. Is that you, there's none of the needs of the body that you're allowed to attend to. So it's a simcha because your mamish it allows you to feel like a spiritual being. In the beginning you're hungry, but after, you know, after 20 hours of fasting, what you're feeling is not hungry. You're just feeling that you don't feel your physicality so much. You don't look at yourself like a physical being after you're fasting for so long. The body was broken, and that's something which contributes to this process of attaining the meat of Malchus. She was totally spiritual. When we eat, anytime you take food and put it in your mouth, you're involving yourself in the physical. I have a physical need. And I'm filling it. I mean, you have to do that. You're supposed to do that. But it doesn't change the fact that it's much harder to look at yourself as a spiritual creature if you're constantly involved in fulfilling your physical needs. And when someone fasts for 3 days, which is the limit, so then as a physical person, they die. They're no longer a physical person. So she went up, that's the Vilna Gaon, she went up as in the Madriga.
And that only happened afterwards? Like until
this was the last, yeah, she worked on this her whole life. But this was the last part of that procedure. This was it. And we'll go through the Targum. Fills us in with a bunch of insights. So it was on the third day, it was Pesach. He actually says it was the third day of Pesach, which is a bit of a problem according to some of the Mefarshim. We learned there was the third day of the fast was the second day of Pesach. And the Targum says that this was the third day of Pesach.
Well, the first day of the fast
is
the first day of Pesach.
First day of Pesach was Yudal, then the second day of the fast is the first day of Pesach. And the Targum says it was the third day. So Esther put on royal clothing, and Ruach HaKodesh came upon her. So he says both. She did both. And she davened. What was she doing over there? What do you think she was doing? She's davening. She was davening in the courtyard of the king. And the courtyard of the king was built facing another courtyard of the king. Achashverosh's courtyard was built facing in the direction of the Beis HaMelech in Yerushalayim. We learned in Halacha that if you don't know which direction Mizrach is, you're davening from the Esrei. The Gemara says that you're supposed to be Mechav and Libay. It's the Beis Kodesh Kedashim. And then you're there. And you're Mechav and Libay. You have in mind. You put your heart there. And that transports you there. You're there. Esther was in the courtyard of Achashverosh. But she wasn't there. She was in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. She was Neichach Beis HaMelech. HaMelech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She was not there. We're going to see in the upcoming Pesukim that Esther was not there. She did not see herself as appearing before the flesh and blood King Achashverosh. She was not there. After 3 days of fasting, after attaining Ruach HaKodesh, she wasn't there. It's like, you know, she transported herself out of Olam Hazeh. Her body might have been here, but her body was broken. Her body was almost non-existent. She became a soul. And a soul could be anywhere. I mean, let's see your side. A soul could be anywhere. There's no limits of time and space on a soul. Her body was broken. She became a soul. And she was in the Beis HaMikdash. And she says, Rabbeinu Shalalem, please don't deliver me over in the hands of this uncircumcised one. Please don't allow Haman please don't allow Haman's will to be fulfilled. And she reveals, the Targum reveals a plot. Haman is good at getting people out of the way. Haman, in his ultimate search for power, advised Achashverosh to kill Vashti. Now, we discussed before his motives. It tells us in Maseches Megillah that Haman had a chashuva wife, and he wanted to intimidate her. But that, you know, the Targum says gives us another insight. Haman had a daughter. He wanted his daughter to be the queen. Vashti's in the way. He orchestrated the whole thing. He held all the charges against Vashti to make sure that she never comes back. She dies. She gets killed. She's offed. Why? What was Haman's stake in the matter? His daughter could become the queen. And when Min HaShamayim, when they had this beauty contest, so he killed Vashti, and then they had the beauty contest. And Haman's going to try and get his daughter in. You know, this whole thing was Haman's doing. You know, he was buying everything. And Min HaShamayim, Haman's daughter, like she. Something always happened to her. You know? Something always happened to Haman's daughter. It says that she dirtied herself. She lost control of her bodily functions, and she sullied herself. She soiled herself in all kinds of substances. Her breath was intolerable, very intolerable. They took her out to get her out of here. Shh, quiet. And then Esther, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kaka Protus, Esther became the queen. So Haman wants to kill Esther. You know, Haman has enough reasons to kill Esther without knowing she's Jewish. She frustrated his plans. He wanted his daughter to be the queen. He wants to kill her. So she's davening, Haman shouldn't get what he wants. Have rachmanis on me. Have rachmanis on Klal Yisrael. Have rachmanis that the children of Yaakov should not fall in the hands of Haman, the son of Hamdasa, the son of Ada, the son of Biznai, the son of Aflitum, the son of Diosus, the son of Pros, the son of Hamdan, the son of Talyan, the son of Asnisumus, the son of Harum, the son of Charsum, the son of Shkar, the son of Nagar, son of Parmashta, son of Avizasa. You see Haman named some of his kids after his great-great-great-great-grandfather. There's a Parmashta and Avizasa up there. The son of Agag, the son of Sumkar, the son of Amalek, the son of Eliphaz, the son of Asa. So she's diving to Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is not a Russia. This is the Muhammad between Yaakov and Asa. This is the whole world. This is the fate of the world. There's isolated incidents where Russia tries to rise up against a tzaddik. But it's not the, you know, it's a battle, it's not the war. Esther's davening, this is the war. But Tilbush Esther Malchus, Esther garbed herself with majesty. She transported herself to a higher level. She's davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Koyach HaTfila. This is what she's involved in when she's standing in front of Achashverosh. She's not in front of Achashverosh. She's in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Kodesh Kedoshim. And the voice, it's very clear, it's very apparent. That if Esther hadn't done this, then none of the, you know, what followed never would have happened. The only, Klal Yisrael was so bad. I mean, the Rambam says Klal Yisrael was so bad that he says that all the last vestiges of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov had disappeared from Klal Yisrael. The Rambam is Sefer Mitzvos. That's our Schutz Kiyum. What's our Schutz Kiyum? We're not so great. But we have Yichus. We've got good Zaydis. That's only if there's Zaydi inside of us. And there wasn't any Zaydi inside of them. What's Avram Avinu? Nimrod says, bow down to the Allah, we'll throw you into the fire. Avram goes into the fire. In the time of Nebuchadnezzar, he tells them, bow down to the idol, I'm going to throw you into the fire. And they bow down to the idol. The Rambam says that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov disappeared from Klal Yisrael. He said there were three Yechidim, there were only three members of Klal Yisrael that still had Avram and Yitzchak. Hananya, Mishael, Azariah. Hananya's connected to Avram, Mishael's connected to Yitzchak, and Azariah's connected to Yaakov. So those are the three of us. Rambam says that's it. Those are the only ones. And they went into the fire. They did go into the fire. There's a machlokes, Esav and Yaakov over the fate of the world. And Yaakov is losing because Yaakov is disappearing. This is not an ordinary tzara. It's not even like the Holocaust, Rahman al-Islam. It's not even like that. It's not an ordinary tzara. This is it. Either we win or they win. And if we win, so then we win forever. You know, the next couple thousand years afterwards, we beat them already, you know. It's just, we have to go through some things until Mashiach comes. But the Nitzachon of Purim is the Nitzachon of Mashiach. It's just like, you know, you ever saw a prize fight, you know, when a guy delivers a KO, you know, a knockout punch, and then the other guy, he's a strong guy, he's like a mountain, you know, he doesn't fall so easy. He starts tottering around like a drunk, and then he starts going down on the ropes, and then he gets down, and he gets up, and he gets down. He's finished. This was it. Amalek was finished. Megillas Esther, and the only way to do it was to totally leave, you know, the present existence and become something totally different. Not to become a little bit better version of what we are, because you can only be a better version of what you are if you're something. But if you're nothing, so you can't add on, okay, I'll be a little frommer. You're not, like I say, you're not on a derek in the first place. You can go off the derek. You know, you have to be on a derek to go off a derek. Klal Yisrael was disappearing. They can't just be a better, we're going to improve. We can't improve on zero. It's impossible. 5 times 0 is 0. Oh, it becomes something totally new.